We're looking at the discipline of mind. We're looking at the discipline of mind. We talked about what goes in the mind, what does, all right. So practical considerations, discipline of the mind. Hold on, I've got some, here it is. Discipline of scripture, I'm sorry. No, I'm on the discipline of mind. I'm missing some ways, some things that I have. Bless you, or if that was a sneeze. Go to Matthew chapter 5, if you would, Matthew chapter 5. Where is what I thought I had? I don't know. Did I just mess up on my slideshow? I could have. But if I didn't say anything, y'all wouldn't know any better anyway. Okay. Then I ignore what's up there then. Okay. Remember we said, you know what? Let's do something different. Turn to Philippians 4. I changed my mind. Philippians 4. I'm going to send you on a wild goose chase. Last week we talked about one of the considerations is we have to be careful because regarding our minds, we have to be careful what we see. Remember I said that little song used to sing, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you know that. And I told you how much Americans consume over 10 and a half hours of media a day. So we have to be careful what we let into our minds. And what our minds should focus on is here in Philippians 4:8. We've heard this a million times. Let's hear it a million and one. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, right? We're to think about the things that God wants us to put in our minds, the minds that God has given us. We got to be disciplined in our minds and be thoughtful for what we put in our minds. Secondly, again, it's not up here. We have to put something off. Be careful what we say, but we have to put something on. We have to put on the scriptures. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, I was reading through Psalm 119, and I need to find the verse again, but I thought I found one verse that did not have anything about the Word of God in it, because Psalm 119 is famous for all the verses having, but I'm like, whoa, I found one that didn't have it, but I forgot to write it down, so I'll have to go read it again. But anyway, Psalm 119. But put on the scriptures. We can only have Christian minds and our minds be disciplined through exposure and immersion in God's Word. We have to be illuminated by God, by the Holy Spirit, illuminated in the Word of God. We can't be influenced by something that we don't know anything about. We have to know the scriptures in order to be influenced by the scriptures and have a Christian mind. Are you at Psalm 119? Let's just read the whole psalm real quick, and then we'll get... Oh, okay, well then let's read verse 97 then, since y'all are all laughing and stuff. I didn't know y'all it was okay to laugh at the Word of God. Okay then. Psalm 119, turn to verse 97. Are you there? how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have not refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep. I think I said I have not refrained my feet. Speak for yourself, guys. But anyway, you get the idea. The only way to a Christian mind is through God's word. He said in verse 97, it's his meditation all the day long. Verse 98, it makes him wiser than even the ancients like Aristotle or any of those guys. Verse 99, it gives you understanding, right? It's what you should, verse 99, also what you should meditate on. Now, we have to be careful not to fall into Phariseeism or legalism that teaches you're not a good Christian if you don't read 5 chapters a day. Or you're not a good Christian if you don't read your Bible through in a whole year or whatever. Now, the Bible nowhere says any of those things, but, you know, people do make that claim these days. We have to be careful on both sides. I would say that probably the danger for us Christians is not that we go too far the side of you need to read your Bible in a year. I think we probably go way too far the other side. We don't read our Bibles enough and don't have a planned study for reading our Bibles. So, you know, there's two extremes to be avoided. I think we're kind of on the other extreme most Christians anyway, many people will find that reading the Bible through in a year is the best way for them to stay focused and organized. Then read the Bible through in a year. Some people like to read the Bible through in 6 months. Then do that. I'm not telling you what to do, right? I'm telling you we need to stay focused and organized and usually having a routine. Regardless of how you do it or regardless of your plan, the idea is true. You must regularly, whatever that word means to you, you must regularly read and study. I would say daily, read and study God's Word. I think I'm going to say regularly read the Bible. I'm going to go ahead and define it as daily. That's how I'm going to define it. And you might not agree with that. I have no problem with that. And we must regularly read and study God's Word. Without that, we'll never be able to have a full Christian mind. If you don't like to read, there are audio versions of the Bible. How many of y'all grew up and cut your teeth on Alexander Scourby reading the Bible to you? We all know Alexander Scourby, right? Did you do the Alexander Scourby dramatic Bible or the just regular reading Bible? Which one did y'all do? The regular? Okay, good. Just the regular. I've heard the Alexander Scourby, not illustrated, sorry. What's the word I just used? Dramatized Bible. Yes, I've heard that. I just like Alexander reading the Bible. So if I'm in my bathroom and I am, you know, I'm doing some shaving, believe it or not, I do shave, because if I didn't shave my face, I would be like a wolf man all over, like all up in here. So I got to shave. So if you're shaving in the morning, you're, you know, doing some Listerine or whatever, you're brushing your teeth, whatever, I put Alexander Scourby on because I can listen. I can't read that time, but I can listen to him read the Bible. I kind of like that. But man, the first time I listened to him read through the book of Romans, I thought, everybody has told me about the book of Romans. It's like a legal document and written out like a lawyer. I'm thinking, wow, this really hits home hearing it read. And of course, hearing the Psalms read is a different experience. But anyway, but if you don't want to read, there are audio versions you can download on your phone. I've got the Alexander Scourby on my phone. And I've got two versions on my phone, by the way. But anyway, so the only way to have a Christian mind is to be immersed in God's Word, right? Whether it's reading, whether your plan is reading through in a year or half a year. Some people have, I read through my Bible in a month. I wish I had the time to read through my Bible in a month. That's good. I'm not saying what plan you should or shouldn't have. I just said you shouldn't be a Pharisee about it. But whatever plan you have, I think you should have a plan. I'm going to go along and just say that. Again, not being a Pharisee about it, but I think you should have some kind of an organized plan for reading your Bible. Because if you are like me, which you're not, but if you are like me, you do better when your life is organized. And when you have goals and you have time periods and you have things set up, your life usually goes better. So to me, having a plan is muy importante. That means very important if you don't speak Spanish. Another thing I wanted to talk about here that's not up there is Christian literature. If you are a reader like me, I like to read. Along with reading the scriptures, we ought to be reading good books about the scriptures. Dennis Prager, have you ever heard of him? Talk show host Dennis Prager. How is he doing these days?
He's paralyzed.
Oh. Talk show host Dennis Prager said this, I'll quote, "One thing I noticed about evangelicals is that they do not read." Really, if he would have said that about Independent Fundamental Baptists, he would have been even more on point. And I'm not criticizing Independent Fundamental Baptists because I is one. They do not read the Bible. They do not read the great Christian thinkers. As a Jew, that's confusing to me. Dennis Prager's a Jew. God gave us a brain. Aren't we to use it in His service? I have bookcases of Christian books, and I'm a Jew. Why do I have more Christian books than 98% of the Christians in America? That is so bizarre to me. I agree with Dennis Prager. That's bizarre, right? Now, if you're one of these people, no book but the Bible, I'm glad for you, and I'm glad you can sound spiritual, and that's fine, and you can do that all day long, and you can sound holy if you want. That's fine. If you're reading your Bible, then I'm fine with that, right? You don't have to read any other books, but there's a lot of good Christian literature that's been published and that's been printed, and it gets to be somewhat egotistical for you to think that you can know more about the Bible than all the hundreds and thousands of Christians who have gone on before you that have been closer to the Lord than you'll ever be. It's arrogant for you to think that you know more than they do or that you can get something out of the Bible that they never could get. That's why I like what Brother Stewart, remember when Brother Stewart preached? preached his conference here a few months ago, one thing Brother Stewart said, he said, I'm reading through a passage. He said, if I want to figure out what that passage means, I compare scripture with scripture, and I write down all the places. I might get a concordance and write down all the places that that thing occurs and compare all throughout the Bible to see if there's a common pattern in comparing scripture with scripture. And then after I do that and I think I've got what that verse means, then I go read what other people think it means, because I want to make sure, these are his words, I want to make sure I'm not on an island. Because you can have the Bible and you can be a Jehovah's Witness. They use the King James Bible and they probably know more of it than you do and have more of it memorized than you do. But I like what he said. He said, I go and I read other people that I know and trust. I just want to make sure I'm not on an island. What did he mean by that? He meant, I want to make sure that that interpretation that I have of this verse is not something bizarre and out there and no one else has it. Well, what if it was bizarre and out there and no one else had it? Well, what that would probably mean is hundreds of Christians before you that were smarter and knew Greek and Hebrew and all this other stuff, and they were smarter than you, they read the Bible more than you, they spent more of their time studying the Bible than you do. If they've never come to that conclusion about that verse and you're the only one who has, maybe you should stop and think about that. Maybe you should stop and think about that a little bit. I'm not saying that God can't reveal something new to you, but I get very nervous when people in 2025 tell me, God's revealed something new to me that no one else has ever been revealed to before. I get nervous when someone says that. Because I'm nervous, because I'm worried, that sounds like they're starting a cult to me. That they have got something that no one has gotten before, ever, right? That's why Brother Stewart says, I check other people to make sure I'm not on an island. And I think that's so. Christian literature, I think, is important. And I don't know why Christians and evangelicals, especially independent fundamental Baptists, we really don't read. I'm not saying you have to be a reader. But if you are a reader, what are you reading? Like if you like some people, some women like romance novels, some dudes like me like history books or books about U.S. history or world history or European history or whatever. I mean, but the point is you may not be a reader and that's fine. God made you that way. But if you are a reader, what are you reading? Are you reading good Christian literature? You say, well, Brother Chris, I'd rather read the Bible than read about the Bible. Well, I read the Bible too. I just don't watch Hollywood movies or don't. I spend my time doing other stuff like reading books about the Bible also. That's why I'm not as good at my instruments as I probably could be, because I don't spend much time on them because I'm busy studying and reading instead. Sometimes I feel guilty. I should be better at guitar than I am. I should be better at the fiddle than I am, but I'm not. And I see Jonathan and Living Proof and I'm like, man, I wish I could be as good as they are at their instruments, but I'm just not. But some of me is okay with that because I realize I'm spending my time doing this other stuff instead. And part of that is reading Christian literature, right? Let me read you a quote by Kent Hughes who said this. He said, to deny ourselves the wealth of the accumulated wisdom of the saints of the centuries is to consciously embrace spiritual anorexia. Spiritual anorexia? That's a neat turn of phrase. Great Christian writing will magnify, dramatize, and illuminate life-giving wonders for us. Others have walked the paths that we so want to tread. They have chronicled the pitfalls and posted warnings along the way. They have also given us descriptions of spiritual delights that will draw us onward and upward. Now, if you don't like to read, that includes the Bible and Christian literature, then make sure you're not reading something else. Don't say, well, I just read the Bible, and besides that, I really don't like to read anything else. That's fine. But if you say, well, I just like to read the Bible, I don't read Christian literature, and then you read the Bible, but read Reader's Digest, or read your romance novels, or you read about, Sherman's March Through the South during the Civil War, or whatever, all those things are good in and of themselves, but you say, I just read the Bible, I don't read Christian literature, then stop reading the other stuff. Read Christian literature first if you're going to read anything. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it no matter whether you agree with it or not. But we must guard our mind. If you don't read, you must guard your mind even closer. If you're not reading the Bible that much, and you especially don't read Christian literature, there are other things that are getting into your mind. You have to be especially careful to guard your mind, right? There are many good audiobooks, like I said, available, sermon apps, lesson apps. I use an app called Sermon Audio. I have it downloaded on my phone. I've got, millions maybe, hundreds and thousands of sermons listed by speaker. So if you want to hear what Bob Jones Sr. sounded like, because he used to be on the radio, Bob Jones Sr., anybody ever listen to Bob Jones Sr.? Okay, you can have Bob Jones Jr. if you want. He's fine. I love listening to Bob Jones Sr., though. But anyway, Lester Roloff, anybody? Hundreds of Lester Roloff sermons on Sermon Audio. Whatever, you know, and people from the past or whatever. So if you're not a reader, it's fine. But you have to be extra careful guarding what goes in your mind. I'm sorry, turn to Romans 12. I'm not trying to beat this dead horse, so I'll move on. I'm sorry. I have a little bit of an axe to grind on this. Because I've heard people stand up and say in independent Baptist meetings, bless God, I don't need anything to read but the Bible. Amen, amen. By the way, when they say amen, it's spelled H-A-Y-M-A-N. Amen. Guys, I know that sounds spiritual, and that's fine. Bless you. If all you read is the Bible, I think that's great. But if you're reading other stuff, you need to instead put in your hands some good Christian literature. That's all I'm trying to say, right? Okay, Romans 12, look at verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. Here's verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our minds? We're talking about the discipline of the mind. We do it through God's word. Why? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have a choice as a Christian. We can be conformed to this world. Hey, I finally got it right here. Romans 12 and our choices. I left a bunch of stuff out. But Romans 12 says we can either be conformed to this world. How are you conformed to this world? Immerse yourself into the world, the things the world sees, the things the world does, the things the world likes, the things the world listens to. You can immerse yourself into the world. It's not difficult because we live in the world. To immerse ourselves in the world is easy. It's as easy as sitting back and doing absolutely nothing. What do you have to do to be immersed and influenced by the world? I would say pretty much nothing. Just sit around and do nothing. Don't read your Bible. Don't study. Don't pray. Don't do anything, and the world will come in, and that empty vacuum, the world will fill it up. Or it says, we can either be conformed to this world, or in verse 2, transformed. Which one are you being today? Are you being conformed to the world, or are you being transformed by the renewing of your mind? I will say here that you're doing one of the two. There is no standing still. I don't believe last week that when I take a look at my day, sometimes I'll look at my day, like I'll wake up in the morning, okay, what did I get accomplished yesterday? Was it a good day for me? Was it not a good day for me? Can I make today better, right? How did I treat other people? Did I read my Bible as much as I want to? Did I let other things get in the way? You know, I often, and sometimes I'll look back on my week. How did I do this week, right? I'll look at my work. How did I do at work? How did I do spiritually? We're not standing still, guys. We're either being conformed to the world or being transformed by the renewing of our minds. How do we renew our mind? I've said it. Here's our theme. Immersing yourself in God's word and letting yourself be influenced by God's word. That's how you can renew your mind. There's no better way to renew your mind than God's word. That is the best way. This leads us naturally to our third thing, the discipline. The third discipline, the second one was discipline of our mind. The third one, naturally, it leads to discipline of Scripture, right? As something we may be disciplined about is the Scripture that'll aid us in reaching our goal of being holy unto the Lord. It reaches our goal of holiness and being set free from sin. We have to have the discipline of Scripture. There are disciplines we must constantly practice. There's a song I've been working on that has to do with Psalm 40. That's why I've been reading Psalm 40 a lot. The lyrics are taken from Psalm 40. I've been working on it a lot. And if I haven't practiced it in a couple of days, I'll find that I'm fumbling around and I'm not able to do as good on it. If I don't constantly pray, if I don't practice that song for 3 or 4 days, then I'm really going to be fumble fingers on it. And it'll take me a few minutes to get things going smoothly as they should. And so that's what I'm saying. We must constantly practice the discipline of Scripture. If we're to cultivate holiness, the disciplines we must constantly cultivate have a lot to do with Scripture. How about that? Because I believe the Scripture is primary road to holiness and spiritual growth. That's why we hate it when we see Baptists, Southern Baptists. The Methodists have already gone the way of Cain, I guess. But we see Southern Baptists going away from Scripture. How many preachers now that get up with the ripped jeans and get up with the t-shirt and have the little microphone that goes like this, you know, that cool mic or whatever, and then they can move around? How many of them, it used to be at least those cool dudes would move around the stage with a Bible in their hand. But now, guess what you notice? They move around the stage without even a Bible in their hand, right? I mean, of course, they have the monitors, I guess, maybe, that, you know, I don't know. If they have those monitors, I was hoping we could put those up for me for Sunday school so I wouldn't lose my track or lose my way. But now it's not even with the Bible, right? The Scripture is the primary road to holiness and spiritual growth among Christians. If you're unsaved, the Scripture will mean nothing to you, right? The Holy Spirit illuminates our minds and our hearts and our lives. When we read the Scripture, we interact with God through the Holy Spirit of God. Turn to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. That is the nice bell. 1 Peter 2, I'm at 2 Peter 2, so let me get to the right place here. My fault on that one. Let's look at verse number 1. 2 Peter 2, verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That ye may grow thereby. The word is what causes us to grow. Without constantly, daily engaging in the Bible, you may be a Christian, but your growth is going to be stunted. You're going to be a babe in Christ. And if you're a babe in Christ, one of the dangers is you'll not have very good discernment and you'll fall for every false thing that comes down the pike. You'll go out and buy a bunch of books about praying the prayer of Jabez. Remember that? Prayer of Jabez. Y'all remember that fad? Right? I've got a whole collection of the prayer of Jabez at home when I fell into that. No, I'm kidding. I didn't fall into that fad. But anyway, or the heaven tourism genre. I just recently ran across that again. The boy who died and went to heaven came back and wrote about it. That later they found out his dad had done it all, and you know, they made money off of it and stuff like that. Anyway, I don't know how I caught up into that. Without constantly and daily engaging in the Bible, you will be a weak Christian. If you're a weak Christian, you will not be able to discern. You will not have discernment, and you'll fall for anything, any stupid thing that comes down the pike. You may be a Christian. You can be a Christian and fall for the idiocy of praying the prayer of Jabez 10 times a day. You can be a Christian. I hate to say this because I don't know if this is true. You might could even be a Christian and fall for the idiocy of a guy named, I don't know, is that going too far? Our friend down in Houston, is that going too far? Could you fall for somebody like that and still be a Christian? I don't know. That's a tough call. I'm not going to say because there'll be disagreements maybe about that. I don't know. All I know is you can be a Christian and fall for a lot of idiot things because you're a babe in Christ. Why are you a babe in Christ? Because you don't study the Scriptures. You don't interact with the Word. Your growth is going to be stunted. You'll be a babe. A sincere babe, maybe, but you'll still be a babe, right? Okay, anyway, do you think our friend, you think somebody can really be a Christian and fall for our friend in Houston? I don't know. That's tough. I don't know, man. One thing you can't be is you can't be flooded out of your house and want to find a place to stay. Because they're going to lock up the church if you do that. Where are all my Houston friends? All my Houston people? Anywhere? Shout out Houston people? No, y'all don't know the story? Okay. All right. Anyway, let's go on. All right. Anyway, people may get the garage dirty, y'all. Come on. Here's some things that we must do. I'm going to make this easy because we know these things already. This is just a reminder. We got to hurry. One thing we must do is read the scriptures. Duh. We talked about this already. And so you just need to read the scriptures. Have a daily or a weekly or a monthly or a yearly. I could care less, but I think you should have some sort of a plan where you regularly read through the Bible in regular cycles. I'm going to say it's my opinion every 1 to 3 years. Beyond 3 years, I think, I'm getting worried about you. So that's what I would say at the very least, right? You may want to take your time. That's fine, whatever. But you have to have a definite plan. You have to have a plan. You have to stay disciplined and stay on that plan. I think the worst part of reading is you open your Bible in the morning. Well, I'd like to interact with God's Word. Let me open my Bible. Just kind of turning. Let's see, this looks good as Jeremiah 28. Let me start reading there. I don't think that's going to be profitable to you. Now, if you wanted to do that with the Psalms, I'm kind of okay with that, but I'd rather it be more profitable that we have a regular reading plan. I've even seen preachers get up and do that. I know a preacher who I know and went on to be at the door. I loved the man, loved his wife. Didn't ever go to his church because he would stand up sometimes, just start turning, and wherever the Lord led him to stop, he would stop and start preaching. This must be where the Lord led me, so I prefer a preacher that has somewhat of a plan. I think that's more honoring to God than relying on some fake Holy Spirit kind of guidance to tell you where to stop. I stopped on Psalm 77, so, well, yeah, you could preach out of any verse in the Bible you wanted to. That's not the point. Anyway, I'm sorry. I think you need to have a disciplined plan. I'm going to say that. And I think it's important. Not just open your Bible up wherever and read it. All right. Second thing, and we'll have to stop here. I think we need to memorize the scriptures. We need to constantly be committing the scriptures to memory, right? You've done it before in Sunday school class, this one and in other classes where we memorize the scriptures and we have memory verses. We can do that again. I don't mind. I do things all the time, but then sometimes I stop doing them or let them fall by the wayside. Sometimes I do them because I think people aren't that interested and I'm not getting my feelings hurt. And sometimes I stop doing them just to see if anybody will say anything. If no one says anything, hey, Brother Chris, I really miss us. Quoting a psalm reading a psalm at the start of Sunday school. If no one says anything, then I'm just like, well, must not have been that big a deal to them. I'll move on to something different or whatever. Again, I don't get my feelings hurt about it or whatever. But I'm just saying, you've done it before. We need to constantly do it. I need to constantly do it. You need to constantly do it. We constantly need to be memorizing the scripture. My preferred way of doing it is writing a scripture out on a note card and having that note card with me, whether it's in your pocket or my desk at work or whatever. And that's my preferred way. You may have your own way of memorizing the scriptures. We'll get into more of that later. There's other things we can look at. Let's stand and be dismissed with the word of prayer. I appreciate y'all's time and attention. And I don't know what to say. These are things that we all know. We all know to do them. We all know we need to do them. But if you want to be disciplined in your life, you have to be disciplined and do those things. You have to be disciplined of what you put in your mind. And we have to have discipline as far as the scriptures go, right? The scriptures are holy. We read them. The Holy Spirit allows us to interact with God the Father. How else can you interact with God the Father? I don't do it through dreams. I don't do it through, someone interpreting something next to me. I do it through reading the scriptures. So it's muy importante, or as they say, it's very important to do that. So let's be dismissed with a word of prayer.